coming into hour number three, this program, Kevin Smith Reports, is a production of Progress Indiana, LLC. It's paid for by a sponsor.
T&J Tire, West Electric, Anderson Wrecker Service, Gardner Construction, and Perkins Restaurant and Bakery.
Now, in all fairness, if you would like to be part of this program through sponsorship, those are available. And we have several lined up, don't we, Todd?
That
we
yeah.
We haven't got to the production end of it for some reason.
Right. We're lining them up.
Some of that
getting
is,
them on board.
Is probably because of me, isn't it? Honestly. I mean, be honest about it.
You tell
the billions of people he's slow. That's all right.
There's so much activity at the fan page and our website's really taking off.
Yeah, go for that. Make some note that we're up. What is that? 328%
There's about 400% increase in the number of people talking about Kevin Smith Reports on Facebook and social media.
One of those comments that was an anonymous comment on there. And let me tell you why I'm going to read this comment.
Oh, there's tons of anonymous comments.
I think
the one you're referring to was...
There's tons of anonymous comments? I see one that was... When was this posted? 18 hours ago.
Yes, it's fresh. Fresh out the
fresh,
oven.
Fresh, and it's from Happy to Be Here 69.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why would somebody want to make a public comment but not want their name associated with it? See, I just went through this with a conversation about what had happened on a forum some years ago about how they assassinated local business, and it was the character of local business and was actually interfering with Anderson's ability to recruit companies.
Well,
that's causing them second
thoughts. That's the nature of YouTube and the internet.
So is there any way we can find out who Happy to Be Here 69 is?
No.
Why?
Because I just explained that's the nature of YouTube and the internet.
Yeah.
That it provides a mechanism for people to leave anonymous comments.
Well, but I thought you had to have a Facebook. Not on this one?
Not for YouTube.
Really?
This was a comment left on YouTube
mm-hmm.
In regards to a video that...
was recently posted.
Well, an audio portion with the video accompanying it.
Yeah. And this comment, real quick, says... There's no wheel on that.
Yeah, I know. This mouse
is kind of antiquated, isn't it? This comment was posted because what we'd done is we'd put the radio clip from this program, audio clip on YouTube, and it talks about Kevin Smith's radio program that brought about the...
Should we back up a little bit and explain?
I guess we're going to. You just eliminated everything I was reading on the screen.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. Let me set this field. Do you remember what program the clip is from? What date?
Yes, December 17th.
Okay.
Just a couple weeks
ago. On December 17th, we were talking about budget issues on this program.
Right.
City budget issues. Okay? And what was brought up was what city council, their city budget that they had passed probably in August, or September, and particularly with its relationship to the Anderson Police Department and the number of employees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not conjecture. This is not simply assumptions. These are facts, because what had happened, the city council said, period, here is the dollar number that you're dealing with as a city with a police department, and this is the number of positions you are allowed to have. Now, city council said that. That wasn't anything I was making up.
And we had made numerous appeals to city council president Ollie Dixon to give us a call and
absolutely
explain what's going on.
Right. And I had talked to other city council members. One particular acknowledged that, they'd said it under 16, and yes, it was a problem. But they said, we don't want to talk about it publicly. Now, why you would vote on it and then not want to talk about it, I'm not sure. So, anyway, during this program, we discussed that issue. Now, since that time, that has caused a little bit of media sensation locally. It resulted in a news story printed in the Anderson Herald Bulletin, written by Stephen Dick, plus Channel 6 and Channel 59 coming to Anderson and painting these comments in a particular light because of who they interviewed in that story. So we're going to play that clip. It's a 3-minute clip. Listen to what is said during this program on December 17th and discern if there was any nastiness in the attitude or if it was, in fact, what it is, which is a discussion about budget. Let's play that, Todd. Let's listen.
Anderson City Council set the budget for 2012 as it relates to the police department at 116 officers. Pay slots, they have 117 now, so they're already over. The current mayor wants to go back to the police department, which will make 118. Two over the allowed limit that the city council set. Not staffing ratios, not anything else. The city council said we will only pay for 116.
Well, where's the extra money coming from?
With the current mayor going back into the police department as he's requested, that puts us at 118, which is two above the level that the city council said they'd pay for. Now, why there was not a position kept open and vacant, I do not know for him to return to. But it will cause, obviously, some issues, either before January 1st or after January 1st, about what needs to be done with staffing levels. And we have consulted with at least one city council person who's declined to become involved in the issue. Interesting. Because my question to the city council was, did you really mean 116, and what does that mean? Because we also have 4 officers off on military leave, which theoretically says there are 4 vacant spots, but they aren't vacant spots because if they choose to return, we have to pay them. But nonetheless, the city council said, 116, period. And I would love to hear from a city council person for Anderson City Government to ask them what they meant. Did you mean 116, period? And what does that mean for today when we're at 117? Did that mean the city council intended that there be a layoff of a person to meet their demands? Their budget.
Maybe the president of the city council can give us a call.
At 378-2086. And the city council president is...
Ollie Dixon.
Ollie Dixon. Course. Ollie Dixon could call us and tell us what he meant, because he voted yes on it, what he meant for the staffing levels. Was it 116, and then what would he propose?
Hey, we've got a caller. Maybe this is him now.
Maybe so. Just to clarify, because we don't know.
Good morning, Kevin.
How are you?
I'm good. Hey, this has nothing to do with what you talked about, but I have to ask your opinion.
Yeah, obviously that caller had nothing to say about that commentary. That was okay. My point is, did you hear anything in that other than factual questioning about what they meant? Todd, did you hear anything in there?
It sounded pretty clear cut to me.
Because that interview was cited by Acting Mayor Greg Graham, who's chairman of the Board of Works and deputy mayor of the city of Anderson. It was cited also by Dick Wiley, who is president or chairman of the Board of Public Safety, in relationship to the story about Mayor Chris Ockman resigning the mayorship. Now, I didn't hear anything in there other than asking these questions about what the city council had intended, talking about factual budget issues. But that clip was referenced by Dick Wiley, chairman of the Board of Public Safety, retired Anderson firefighter, Greg Graham, former member of the Anderson City Council, currently the deputy mayor appointed by Mayor Ockman, then Mayor Ockman, former Mayor Ockman, as well as Chairman of the Board of Works, Deputy Mayor. Those spots. Now, what I'm trying to decide, what caused all that fury by talking about public information about a budget and about how we were going to deal with that in the future? How did that become a political reason, as insinuated by Graham and definitely supported by Dick Wiley in his comments. And I invite people to go to either Fox 59 and watch that TV interview about Ackerman's resignation, or go to Channel 6. Because I think what they were doing was trying to, and again, it's what the some media is good at, trying to say that this was somehow a fight between two people, when it was a discussion about budget. And I didn't hear anything in there other than budget.
And as we alluded to earlier, there was a comment on that.
Okay, yeah, let's get back to that comment. It says, are you kidding me? Now, this is posted on the YouTube site where this audio clip
just
is.
18 hours ago.
Okay, and this is by Happy To Be Here 69, who doesn't even have, you know, the wherewithal to put their name on there, but they're happy to be here, probably born in 1969. Says, are you kidding me, Kevin Smith? Question mark. Are you concerned with being mayor or ensuring that you do everything in your power to completely destroy your nemesis? Question mark. While this will possibly become a point for future discussion, I find it to be disappointing representation of your character. Let go of your hatred, stop chasing Mr. Ackerman and his family, and focus on what you got elected to do. Maybe Mayor Ackerman left early as a reminder of the 2008 temper tantrum that you had when you were not reelected. Now, I'm sorry, Happy To Be Here 69, and no matter where you are in the United States or the world, you have a toll-free number right now, 1-800-578-1240, to offer some foundation for your comments. I mean, what is it that Happy To Be Here 69 does not understand about budgeting? I mean, what were we elected to do? Disregard a budget? Not look at potential problems that had been set up before we arrived? I mean, we're dealing with people's lives here and their livelihood. Why wouldn't it be of a concern? Why do people like Happy To Be Here 69 want to live with blinders on? I don't understand that. I mean, that discussion, maybe they didn't listen to the comments. That discussion was purely about budget issues and questions that I believe should be asked and answered now by the city council. They are the one that set the budget. I mean, the dispute between Mayor Ackerman and the city council was very well publicized. I mean, it wasn't anything new. He had been arguing for 120 officers. City council said no, 116. I'm not sure what the thought process Happy To Be Here 1969 had. And so therefore, you know, I'm offering them the floor right now to chime in on that. We'll give you a moment to, I'll give you the number again. You can call in during the break, Happy To Be Here 1969 or 69. 1-800-578-1240. I avail myself to you. Please avail yourself to me.
Visit Kevin Smith Reports on the web at kevinsmithreports.com.
Just look at the workmanship in this remodeled home. From every angle, you can see that attention to detail is what sets Gardner Construction apart.
We are so happy with the way our room turned out. Rick Gardner and his team did a fabulous job, and they kept us within budget.
Gardner Construction specializes in all types of renovations and additions, as well as complete homes and freestanding garages.
We at Gardner Construction look forward to working with you.
You always get higher-end details, but not higher-end costs. With Gardner Construction, call us today.
When you need a tow, here's where to go. AWS, Anderson Wrecker Service. They're locally owned and operated, and they can handle all your light and heavy-duty towing needs. They do flatbed and motorcycle hauling, plus they've got a well-lit, secure lot for vehicle storage. Swift and friendly, always ready, 24 hours a day. Call Anderson Wrecker Service at 644-3339 and look for the big white trucks. Call 644-3339. AWS, Anderson Wrecker Service.
Hi, I'm Michelle Reese, owner of Perkins Restaurant and Bakery in Anderson, Indiana. I welcome you to come in for an awesome omelet or choose our country fried steak biscuit platter. Breakfast is just the beginning. Try our homestyle pot roast, grilled pork chops, a chicken pot pie, or a burger and fries, and much more. Don't forget our fresh pies, muffins, and cookies made fresh daily. Also, our 99-cent dessert special on Sundays and Wednesdays from 4 to 9 p.m. Breakfast is just the beginning at Perkins Restaurant and Bakery on Scatterfield Road in Anderson. See you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to wintertime driving in Indiana.
Woo! Man, it's freezing out there. It's never too early to prepare. With T&J Tire, my car is road ready for almost any driving condition. They inspected my tires, brakes, batteries, antifreeze, wipers, plugs, and wires. That slide off over there, that guy needs Anderson Wrecker Service. T&J Tire, keep your car rolling and your heater blowing this winter. See ya!
You're listening to Kevin Smith Reports.
Kevin Smith, thank you for staying with us. As you know, this pre-planning long-range stuff just comes in, because what we try to do during this program, you know, playing again that the what we did, and you can listen to it for yourself at the entire show, the entire hour, the entire program from December 17th of this year. Or you can go to YouTube.
You can go to our Facebook page.
Or we can go to which
Kevin
Facebook?
Kevin Smith Reports.
Kevin Smith Reports Facebook page.
And we've got the link posted there, yes.
And you can listen to it yourself and make your own determination. But that particular three-minute clip,
Yes.
was cited as a reason for a mayor resigning by Dick Wiley, chairman of the Board of Public Safety, and by Greg Graham, deputy mayor. And so, you know, this is an important issue. And there are some others that really spin off of this. And it all has to do with budget. And, you know, whether you really want to know. So to better fill out this picture, we were able to procure and get an affirmative response from Larry Crenshaw. It wasn't convenient for him to be in here today, I understand.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, playing this up big. But Crenshaw, yes. It's already been announced in the paper that you're going to be the next chief of police, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So as chief of police, you have taken some action.
Yes, I do.
You're also a county councilman, which is a budgetary body that deals with budgets. And has there ever been a time in your tenure, because you've been on the county council, what, 8 years?
Yes, 8 years next year.
Okay, so 7 years, because
yes.
It's not year,
yes.
Not next
not
year.
Quite.
Okay, 7 years of budgeting experience, millions of dollars, what, $30 million a year, give or take?
Yes,
okay.
36.
All right. Has there ever been a time where you have said, look, we have the dollar amount available for this office, here is the amount, and this is the number of people that you will have?
Yes, we try to make our general budgets fit. If it's not appropriate, or if there's a cash flow or revenue problem, then we cut. But we do not basically try to overstaff or overfund, but appropriate funding is the precursor to how your department or your divisions actually operate.
Well, has anybody ever come back to you and say, well, did you really mean this amount of funding, or you can have a couple extra?
No. That's not how policy's set.
Well, see, that was my point. We're talking about a budget on December 17th, and then you have all this, you know, news media fallout from that comment, and please, I invite anybody to go and listen to that. That was a budgetary issue. So, but I've got Greg Graham and these guys saying, well, the political, you know, a mayor had to resign politically. And I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. These are questions that they should be answering. They should know about.
Well,
this isn't me. This is them. They did that.
Exactly. And I made those appropriate calls.
Okay. And who did you call? I mean, not names.
No, but I call all the city council
all
members.
All the Anderson city council members.
Yes, okay. with a definition or determination of what they meant
right.
by the numeric value of 116.
Right.
You know, inadvertently, well, they're telling me I'm only appropriations for 116 member staff at the police department, However, they did this all while knowing I actually had 117, not including Mr. Aukerman.
And so the council said we meant 116 or what? What's the general response?
A couple said, well, that means simple math. You need to reduce your staff by two.
Okay.
And I said, is that a directive? Well, hang on here. We've got some appropriations maybe. They may have found some extra money. That's fine and dandy. Mm-hmm. But if they had that money, then why didn't they properly fund the Anderson Police Department?
Mm-hmm.
More or less meet the actual contract or complement of 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago. We were short officers almost 4 years ago.
Okay.
Thereabouts.
All right.
And that contract was never met. So when they fund me for 116, and I actually have on staff today 118, that's a budget deficit right there. And as I explore our budgetary issues, I'm still underfunded by some of the shift in manpower and allocations of manpower today, which is
now,
another shortage.
When you say you're underfunded by shift in manpower, what do you mean?
Well, we brought back some merit status positions.
Which are? Something we created in a new administration?
This is new.
From the sky?
Because,
what are you saying?
Well, we actually had some merit status appointments that they made. They created more detectives.
We're talking about, detectives.
Right.
Those are merit staff positions.
Those are merit staff. Those are called detectives. A little terminology here. But they actually increased three more detectives. My budget this next year, 2012, the promissory note or budgetary, mm-hmm. allows me for 20 detectives. However, I have on staff currently 23. Another deficit in this budget. I don't know how to interpret 116. They thought 118. But no one will define that for me.
Let me ask you. Okay, yes. You're coming in here, and somebody's going to say, believe me, somebody's going to say, well, he's political. He's talking to politics. Well, of course he'd say these things.
Sure.
Because he's chief of police.
Sure.
Okay? And appointed by Mayor-elect Kevin Smith. He's not mayor till tomorrow at 12:01. He's not. But the point is, is this a political game behind the scenes?
No, sir. And I explained that to the
council
members.
Because Dick Wiley seemed to think it was.
I was told by Mr. Graham that you'll find the money. I saw him a few days ago, and with all due respect, I identified some deficiencies I thought and was trying to... And he says, you'll find it. You'll find it in there somewhere. Your budget guy, or you'll find it. And I'm sure... I just want appropriate funding. This isn't R's or D's. This is about a department head walking into a department with improper and deficient funding, and they knew it. I've asked for clarity. I've tried to do my homework before I get in that term.
Okay, you went to Anderson City Council meetings. I think they had two of them.
Actually, I attended the one, yes, the civilian review.
And did we ask about this staffing level in front of the council?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Why? Wasn't on the agenda, and there was a concern to get out of the meeting. The topic was a civilian review board.
You wanted to get out of the meeting?
No, I was ready.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are issues that are going to be presented here very shortly.
Okay.
The agenda was basically the civilian review board and what they amended their minutes to. And I had some commentary. I had some data that I'd found out about other cities and the concept of civilian review board, and some of the liabilities that may be connected to that.
So, you know, the question that the listeners are going to be asking, where do we go from here? We're two over by budget from what the council said.
Correct.
With just total employees.
Total.
Officers.
Right. The aggregate number, right.
Okay. And then we're three over, what I'm hearing from you, in the merit rank of detective. In other words, people that have been promoted to that rank, and there is a little bit of pay increase in that.
Right.
Not a significant amount, I don't think.
It's not. About 3% plus shift premiums and such. So
okay.
Just a little bit.
So there is a little bit of bump in pay, but now how is it legally that it could be done? Because this is a process that's done through the Merit Commission, which is a civilian oversight group. A civilian review board, really, is what it is.
Sure.
They have oversight of the police department. So the civilian review board, the Board of Public Safety, the Merit Commission has promoted three in excess of what was budgeted for. Now, how does that happen?
Well, I met with an individual on the Merit Commission Board and discussed those issues that was on the table right then and there. And it was kind of more about the Merit Commission's for promotions and demotions.
Mm-hmm.
And nowhere in this commission do you have much language or any interpretive laws on the number of detectives or sergeants or lieutenants, which is all merit appointed. There's no actual definite number on that.
No, I thought you just said there is a number.
Well, no, there's not. That's in my budget, the budgetary pay slot.
So you go back to the fiscal body, the
right.
legislative body,
exactly.
which says there are this many detectives.
That's payable, yes. But the merit is the board that basically promotes or demotes merit status.
So what
we've created.
So they don't even have any concern for what the budget is?
Well, I'm not going to say it that way. They understand the dilemma right now.
Okay.
Basically, their position is if the chief comes in and says, I want these guys and here's my letter and I want to promote them to a detective position, then more or less they will grant that. However, there's no governing device in some ways to limit how many members that a chief can request.
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like the first case that we can send to the council, Civilian Review Board, and ask how budgets that they have fixed have been totally discarded, or not adhered to, or not
right.
consulted, or not thought of. Not
right.
saying that there was anything sinister in there.
Right. I'm not saying
but
that
how
either.
Is it that you're a fiscal body and you have responsibilities for passing a budget that's supposed to be a balanced budget, but...
And that falls on several shoulders here, too.
See, because my goal is the three branches of government are present in Anderson just like they are at the federal level. You have a legislative branch. That's the Anderson Common Council. You have the executive branch. That is the office of the mayor. And then you have the judicial branch, which is Anderson City Court. So we have all those things present. My point is this is a great discussion about legislative versus... I suppose executive, that you mm-hmm. might have to pull the judicial branch in to say, what did they mean?
You're right.
We can use city court as the Supreme Court to make a decision here real quick. But our point is, you know, and all this boils down to what amount of tax
mm-hmm.
we actually tax people at, what their rate is on property taxes. We know that Anderson City property tax rate is the fifth highest in the state of Indiana. So that comes into this discussion.
It really does, indeed, because when you have this physical body in your budget analysis, just a flavor of the chief at that time, whoever it may be, can request specialty pay and detectives along the way without really a governing device. And I'm not putting the burden just on the Merit Commission, because true in nature, they're a good body. They're a good commission.
Good people.
However,
if
I would walk in the door on January 1 and say I want 20 more detectives, it may not be applicable to the financial budget that exists today. And long-term thinking, it may never exist.
So in other words, many people have to be involved in this decision. It's not just one.
Exactly. Be cautious to your financial budget
right.
along with the Merit Commission.
Right.
You can't just do a bunch of promotions and cause physical strain on the police department's budget or the city in general. And that's just one of the issues that's faced with me right now, budgetary.
But the question is, have you begun to hear from some of these people, oh, it's all political? And my question is, how can this be political?
What concerned me, too, was when the return of Mr. Ackerman, and the fact is
because now
budgetary issues,
right.
I kind of think of it a little bit being a police officer, of course, that... is it a concern of his that there is a budget problem? Did he identify a budget problem?
Mm-hmm,
is that why he returned?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's obvious that he came back for a budgetary problem.
See,
he was worried about a deficiency in the budget.
Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily, because as Dick Wiley's comments were on the television station, it was a political concern, not a budgetary concern. But
no,
I don't see that as a political concern. Now, I can hear somebody calling it political. I understand that.
Sure.
But, I mean, realistically, I don't understand where this is construed. That's why I'm asking people, go and listen to the clip that's on YouTube from the December 17th program of Kevin Smith Reports. You can find it at kevinsmithreports.com, or you can find it on YouTube, or through our Facebook page, Kevin Smith Reports Facebook page.
Yes.
Or K
Kevin Smith Reports.
Yeah, go to Facebook.com and log in.
Or Kevin Smith Reports.
And search for Kevin Smith Reports. You'll find the link there.
It's all there. And so people, you know, citizens, because regardless of what, I have been on the radio now for about, I'm going to say about 12 years, including when I was mayor. I did a radio program, of course, they gave me Wednesday evening. And I have been on the air talking about public policy issues for I don't know how many years now. And my point is, this public policy discussion is no different than I would expect from anyone that is truly concerned with the budgetary process. Because my goal is to work very, very closely with the fiscal body, which is the city council, to make sure that we have good fiscal policy and ordinances that benefit Anderson.
I agree.
I mean, and I don't see that as a partisan issue either. I mean, either you have dollars or you don't. Either you have a sound budget or you don't. Now, where we can get into some political issues or partisan issues, they're not political, they're partisan, is how you look at tax dollars. Are tax dollars there to support only government employees, period? Or is it also there to pave streets for water lines, sewer lines, for economic development enhancements? So there you can get into, really, and there will be some people on the council. There was one in the past that said, you know what, it's government's job to create jobs. And they'll just have to deal with it. The citizens will just have to deal with the tax rate. Now, I do look at that differently. I don't agree with that. You want good jobs. Ben Gale was in here earlier, and he was talking about who he hires for his own private business. And the minimum level is this educational issue. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they interview him from there. Find out if people have the right qualities to make his business successful. Well, I think city employment should be looked at it the same way. You know, are you contributing to the product that government produces? Do you aid an effort of, you know, attracting new jobs to Anderson because we've got a great environment to establish a new business or expand an existing business? Do we have the roads that those businesses require, realizing that it's job growth, it's economics that make the world go round? I've got some proof in that here, and some of the stuff I might get to yet here in hour number three. Larry, thank you for taking on the challenge to be chief of police. And again, your background is just perfect for that because you understand budgeting. Thank you very much, Larry.
Thanks, sir. Thank you, guys.
Kevin Smith with Todd Baldridge. Stay with us for the second part of hour number three.
Kevin Smith Reports.
Did you know that employees of West Electric receive more than 8,000 hours of on-the-job training? And they complete nearly 1,200 hours of classroom instruction, so you know they're extremely good at what they do. West Electric sends only the highest skilled labor to do the job, whether it's a home improvement project or a large industrial job. West Electric will work within your budget to complete your electrical project on time and with safety in mind.
Call West Electric at 643-6444 or visit their website at westelectricinc.com.
Just look at the workmanship in this remodeled home. From every angle, you can see that attention to detail is what sets Gardner Construction apart.
We are so happy with the way our room turned out. Rick Gardner and his team did a fabulous job, and they kept us within budget.
Gardner Construction specializes in all types of renovations and additions, as well as complete homes and freestanding garages.
We at Gardner Construction look forward to working with you.
You always get higher-end details, but not higher-end costs. With Gardner Construction, call us today.
When you need a tow, here's where to go. AWS, Anderson Wrecker Service. They're locally owned and operated, and they can handle all your light and heavy-duty towing needs. They do flatbed and motorcycle hauling, plus they've got a well-lit, secure lot for vehicle storage. Swift and friendly, always ready, 24 hours a day. Call Anderson Wrecker Service at 644-3339 and look for the big white trucks. Call 644-3339. AWS, Anderson Wrecker Service.
Hi, I'm Michelle Reese, owner of Perkins Restaurant and Bakery in Anderson, Indiana. I welcome you to come in for an awesome omelet or choose our country fried steak biscuit platter. Breakfast is just the beginning. Try our homestyle pot roast, grilled pork chops, a chicken pot pie, or a burger and fries, and much more. Don't forget our fresh pies, muffins, and cookies made fresh daily. Also, our 99-cent dessert special on Sundays and Wednesdays from 4 to 9 p.m. Breakfast is just the beginning at Perkins Restaurant and Bakery on Scatterfield Road in Anderson. See you soon.
You're listening to Kevin Smith Reports on News Talk 1240 WHBU.
Kevin Smith, thank you for staying with us. We're going to directly dip into that well of Hoosier wisdom. Good afternoon. You're on Kevin Smith Reports.
Hello, Mayor-elect. This is Haskell Count.
Hi, Haskell. Please.
Say what I'm calling about. You might have discussed it because I've been at Habitat since 8 to 12.
Oh, bless your heart.
12th and Sycamore. Are we still going to have the Crime Watch program?
Oh, absolutely.
When will we know who our officer is assigned to us?
Do you know Kelly Talafaro?
No, I don't.
Well, I have asked Kelly Talafaro if she would be interested in heading that up, and she has said yes.
So we'll know who the officer is eventually. That
oh, you mean the Anderson police officer,
yes.
Period. No, she's not a police officer.
No,
she's,
I mean, when will we know what officer will be attending our meetings?
Well, that will be up to the chief of police. My assumption is that depending on where... This is what I want. Okay, this is where I see. Depending on where the Crime Watch meeting is going to depend on who the officer is, because I think there has to be a direct relationship between the patrol officer in that district and what you're attempting to do with that neighborhood.
Right.
Because if there, you know, otherwise it's just somebody showing up and listening to your concerns and trying to disseminate that information. If there are a rash of burglaries, thefts from cars, abductions, that type thing, then the officer who works that neighborhood would be most likely to see that vehicle or see a person matching that description that you've been having trouble with. They should be there at your meeting, and that's the way I anticipate it working.
Okay, well, we won't know for a while then, will we?
Right, you won't have a person. It should be the officer that is working in the neighborhood that you've organized as Crime Watch.
Okay, well, that answers my question. I'm glad we're still going to have
the
Crime Watch program.
Do you know the patrolman in your neighborhood?
The Officer Denny's assigned to us.
Well, then it would be Officer Denny that should be out there.
Okay.
If he is the one that's assigned to your neighborhood to
right
do
now.
The patrolling. Okay, that is who should come to that meeting. And, of course, that will depend on what hour you meet because we have three shifts.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay?
All right, thanks a lot, Mayor.
Thank you very much. See, to me, that's logical. I mean, when you're doing a Crime Watch, and that's... Because that has been a topic of this program, too. I'm looking for logic. If you are assigned Central Anderson, Fletcher, Pearl, Walnut, that area, and you have a thief that's breaking into cars in that neighborhood, the person that needs to know from the homeowners in the neighborhood what car, what suspicious truck, what suspicious person they've seen is the person who works that neighborhood, because they're the most likely to see it.
They're the most well-acquainted
Absolutely.
With activity going on.
And they should be, as a regular basis, reading through all the police reports before they even go out onto the street about what crime has been occurring in Anderson during the prior 24 hours that they've been off, or whatever period of time that is. They should be so familiar with what's going on. And that's what, when I talked about a Crime Watch program just simply being a program and nice talk, that's what I'm talking about. Because it takes commitment from the police department end also. Now, I know these things can be done because I've done them. I know that you can be familiar with all the burglaries, the suspicious vehicles that have been going on around town, in addition to what's being put out at roll call by your sergeant and lieutenant saying, here's some important cases to monitor. You should be so interested in your beat, in your district, that you're in early to read those reports, familiarize yourself with the criminal activity that's going on around town. That's our end of the dedication. That's what needs to happen operationally on the police end, so we can actually be meaningful to Neighborhood Crime Watch, rather than just showing up being a public relations tool. It needs to have the meat behind it. That's my point. And the Investigations Division will go into detectives. If detectives don't have the basic tools to follow up on where items, for instance, were pawned, which they haven't had, timely, accurate information, then you can report as a crime watcher, you know, the wheels have been stolen off my car in my front, and they've been pawned. But you don't know. As a police department, you don't know they've been pawned until maybe 30, 60, or 90 days later. And then they're gone. So if you really want to deter crime, you have to give the police department the tools that they need to work with to solve those crimes. And that's where we're going, Haskell. 378-2086 is our local line, neighborhood line, 1-800-578-1240.
Kevin, we got an email to the website a couple days ago from AJ.
From AJ.
Is there a link to listen online live?
No.
And no, unfortunately, there is not. We're working
on
that.
We can remedy that. Actually, we could remedy it very quickly because we have purchased all the equipment necessary to accomplish that goal. There are some other complicators in there that don't want us to stream.
Yeah. So we're working on that. In the meantime,
hurdles that have been thrown up in front of us.
Visit us in the meantime on our website, kevinsmithreports.com, or once again, our Facebook page. Be sure to like us when you visit that Facebook page.
You know, Ben Gale was in here in our first hour and talking about education issues of technology and how fast they've been moving. Great news story. From the autoblog.com, I like automobiles and the automotive industry. I know I don't buy a lot of new cars, but...
Yeah, you went to the auto show just a couple days ago.
Went to the auto show in Indianapolis, and it's not one that's sponsored by the automobile companies. It's their manufacturers. It's by the sales groups, Chevrolet, you know, local Chevrolet dealer and that. So you don't have a lot of cars there. Not like Detroit, for instance, Chicago, L.A., Beijing, any of those big auto shows. Paris.
So what'd you see?
Well, somebody would ask me what my favorite new car is that has been, and I really don't have one. We're kind of to that point where, you know, all new cars are starting to really look alike. When you look back, I mean, a Tucker was a Tucker. A Hudson was a Hudson. And there's been so much blending. Some of it's probably because of aerodynamics. You know, what are you going to do? Well, they're all finely sculpted for low wind friction. And so they all kind of look like a bar of soap that's been carved up real nice. Now, Cadillac has some distinctive looking automobiles. I will say that. And I do like the CTS-V, which is a rear-wheel drive car with a... big V8 motor in it. It's a fine automobile. You can actually get a real stick shift for real driving enthusiasts that like that. None of that automatic transmission with those little paddles. I'd want a real... You know, I'd use
a
paddles
real
if it
clutch.
Still had a clutch, you know. But clutch is all part of the driving experience that I really enjoy. There was... we're going to take a break, and let me... tell you about my thoughts on the auto show and how it fits with Google in this story from Autoblog. We'll be back.
We all know that winters in Indiana can cause havoc, and it's never too early to prepare. At T&J Tire, we can help you prepare for the weather ahead. This is Jeff Parker of T&J Tire. Because our company knows what Indiana weather can do to your vehicle, let the technicians at T&J Tire prepare your car for winter driving. We offer many brands of quality all-season tires. We even offer free installation. Let T&J Tire help you prepare for the weather ahead. T&J Tire on the corner of 9th and Jackson, downtown Anderson, open 7:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, and Saturdays 8 to noon.
Did you know that employees of West Electric receive more than 8,000 hours of on-the-job training? And they complete nearly 1,200 hours of classroom instruction, so you know they're extremely good at what they do.
Western Electric sends only the highest skilled labor to do the job. Whether it's a home improvement project or a large industrial job, Western Electric will work within your budget to complete your electrical project on time and with safety in mind.
Call Western Electric at 643-6444 or visit their website at westelectricinc.com.
You're listening to Kevin Smith Reports.
Kevin Smith, Todd Baldridge, an anonymous guest that joins us occasionally, good friend of ours. U.S. patent number 8,078,349 describes a vehicle that can switch from regular human-operated driving to an autonomous mode at the push of a button.
Oh, yeah. Remember this story.
That's a Google patent. This story was posted December 15th. Is through autoblog.com about Google being awarded a patent for an autonomous auto car. It works like this in very basic understanding for people like me that don't go into that technical stuff, but it talks about a landing strip. In other words, an area where it's so designated for a car that doesn't need a driver, you know, go into automatic mode. And a reference indicator, and they're saying think about it like a QR code that would be affixed to the road, and that would combine with the GPS coordinates to get the car to where it needs to go. Interesting, huh? Even taking the driver. So I talk about stick shifts, but then now they're talking about taking the need of a driver, let alone a stick shift, out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, for those of us who have an Android smartphone
or
mobile device, it has built in from Google a turn-by-turn directions. So you just tell it where you want to go. You can speak to it.
Right.
And then it'll direct you and speak to you while you're driving and say, in 300 feet, turn left.
See, it doesn't. It's not so amazing that a technology advanced to the point where you can go to point A to point B and they know where the roads are. What I suspect would become an issue is the other cars that might be going that direction too, and do you run into them? I mean, you know, an autonomous car that knows that there's a car that's stopped in front of you and you don't hit it in the rear end.
Well, you take Google's technology with the turn-by-turn
direction
and the mapping systems.
Right.
And you combine that with an awareness of other vehicles that are in proximity to yours.
I do that, though.
And
the awareness factor.
And so you have an automated pilot of your vehicle,
and
which would free you up to answer emails and talk on the cell phone and send texts and whatnot.
Which the National Traffic Transportation Department doesn't like, talking on your cell phone or email. In fact, it was funny. I read it. We did that piece a couple weeks ago because we were off the air last week because of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But we did the piece on the air about the National Safety Transportation group saying that all 50 states need to outlaw talking on your cell phone while you're driving a car. So I was on bringing my son home or leaving from dropping him off at the pool the other day, and I was watching this young girl behind me in a white Oldsmobile, big old Oldsmobile. And she had a great conversation and a stop for a traffic light. Well, she didn't catch that I'd slowed down and she hit the brakes and locked it up. But you know, she kept talking. She didn't miss a beat on that telephone. I watched her out of my rearview mirror and as she made a right-hand turn and went on down another road. She didn't, no turn signal, nothing, just keep driving. She was talking on the phone and almost crashed into the back end of my car. But
you got to be careful out there. Extra on the defensive.
See, and that is, you drive as much with your rearview mirror as you do looking out the windshield. That's my theory. Because you can avoid an accident just by watching what's going on around you. Okay, somebody hits you in the rear end. Did you have an opportunity, were you anticipating that this girl was talking on the phone and wasn't paying attention? And I had anticipated that, and yes, that was indeed correct. So I'd already tried to stretch out the distance between my automobile and
hers. In a sense, the roads are a little bit less safer nowadays than they were, say, 10 or 20 years ago
probably.
Because you've got more distractions.
Yeah. Not as deadly, as we know, because the death toll has been going down. But I wonder about the number of total vehicle crashes. Now, see, that number I haven't read. Are crashes down? Now we know the mortality rate is down, but I don't know about crash rate being down. So which goes into, we talked about GPS, and there are two stories here that cause me a great deal of concern about our Western culture and our capitalist society and where we're going to be at in the future. One of them was from the BBC News that talked about China has now launched its GPS rival. If I'm butchering the name, Beidou, B-E-I-D-O-U.
Probably Beidou.
Beidou. That's being offered, launched in China, to offer a satellite navigation system. It's already operational. China's goal is to catch up with and surpass or not be reliant upon the United States GPS system. And they anticipate this to be not only Asian, but by, I believe it is 2020, to be total global coverage. So even consumers in the United States will be able to go with either the Beidou system, or the U.S. GPS system. That, again, Ben Gale, competition, educated, who you hire. It also goes into economics and job creation. And now China is becoming a direct competitor to the United States.
What if China and the Middle East got together? Boy, wouldn't that be devastating to America.
Well, you know what's interesting? Because there's another news story I happen to have here where Samoa, you know, those chain of islands somewhere out in the Pacific that I'd like to go to sometime. But Samoa, this last week, Friday, as a matter of fact, chose to lose a day in 2011 to align with countries such as China for their trade away from the United States.
That's smart.
To China. Now, for those folks that say we are not involved in a global economic competitive situation, for those people that say we only need to focus on what's here in Anderson and nowhere else, this news story, as well as the prior one, talk about world competition. And it'll be directly related to consumers in Anderson, because where do you buy your shoes now? Where are those shoes made? In the future, you might buy a GPS device, or you might buy one that's compatible with the Chinese satellite system versus the U.S. Direct consumer impact.
What's going to be the new standard for GPS? Is it going to be American or Chinese based?
You know, and that did not, the story did not address that. That is the, yes. Yeah, that's where they're going, Todd. What is the world standard? Western culture or Eastern? That's the reality of the world. And that's the importance of Kevin Smith Reports and why you listen. And why we dip into the well of Hoosier Wisdom every week. We're going back here next week, next Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Join us. It is a thought-provoking program, is it not?